Once again, good morning to you. It's always nice to be back home, but it's not nice to be in a cold weather, right? Especially when you're coming from Florida. It's a wonderful place to be there, just wearing your t-shirts, just walking around and enjoying the things. But we, at the same time, I thank God for cold weathers too, so at least we can bundle up ourselves, right? And have a good sleep too. Let's pray and ask God to be with us as we look at God's Word. Father, we thank you once again, O God, for the great opportunity to come together as your people, O God, to love you, to hear your Word. And Father, as we give ourselves to your Word, we pray that you will continue to speak to us. Lord, as Jeremiah says, Father, you are like a potter, and we are a clay, O God, that you are a God who's making us. Shape us, O God, mold us according to the design that you have planned for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I do not know, you know, many a times, you know, we struggle with this in our daily life, right? It's about self-image. If we realize every day, we think about self, if we actually trying to put some kind of image to ourselves, right? And then we live in this world. When we go to our workplace or even at home, when we travel or when we mingle with our friends, we want to give a good picture about ourselves, about who we are, right? A self-image. We want people to look at us probably more than what we expected. You know, we want people to be to appreciate us. And so, I don't know, many a times we struggle, or shouldn't say struggle. We want to give some kind of image about ourselves, right? Each and every day, I believe that we are giving some kind of image to someone in our workplace or at home about who we are. The way we dress, people will perceive us differently. The way we talk, the way we engage in some kind of activities, we want to show, you know, this is me, this is who I am. And so we are giving ourselves to others, and we are revealing ourselves to others. And, you know, as I told you last year, we were looking at how God sees us. That is very important as we start this year, right? It's important not only how we see ourselves, but how God sees us. As I said, you know, God sees us with a lot of love. And so every day as I walk, I'm just reminded that this God loves me so much. And so similarly, when we look at this particular, you know, self-image, we are actually portraying ourselves. Now, we want to be someone. Now, we want to be somebody. Like, we want to speak like someone. We want to act like someone. We want to be engaged in some things like, you know, some great people do. We want to be that kind of someone. Psychologists say, you know, if we don't achieve that, what happens? You know, we go into some kind of low self-esteem, or even fall into some kind of depression, right? And they also say that if we overact, in other words, right, if we think too much of ourselves, then they say, psychologists also say that, you know, we don't learn from our failures. We think everything is perfect. You know, I'm more than perfect kind of a thing. And so we are not able to see, you know, the failures in us. So self-image is important. So even today, as we start this year, it's important how we see ourselves, right? As we start this year, as we start each and every day of our life, it's important how we see ourselves too. When I look at the Bible particularly, you know, I realize it's also important for Christians to see who we are in terms of our relationship with God, right? We want to portray ourselves to this world, which is good. I'm not saying no. At the same time, I think we need to ask ourselves, you know, who am I in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Not only how God sees me, but who am I? Because when I see myself in relation to God, then what helps me? It helps me in my living and living a life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul writes this particular letter to the Ephesian church, You know, the Ephesian church is a wonderful church. If you want to learn about church, you should go to Paul's writing of Ephesians. It's a very love letter Paul writes to this particular church. Full of love, wonderful words that Paul uses. At the same time, I think Paul is talking to them about their identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a love letter to the church, but Paul was also very careful because, you know, they might take their Christian life for granted and say, you know, I'm a Christian, we are a good church, well appreciated by the great apostle Paul. And so Paul is very firm and he says, your identity in Christ is important. You need to see yourself in relation to God and see how God sees me, because it is going to help you in your life, in your ministry, in the things that you are engaged as a church, in the way you see the body of Christ too. And so that's what Paul is trying to tell the church. And so as we start this year, it's almost 14 days, right, into this new year, it's important for us to see how, you know, the Lord sees us. It's important for us to know this is how the Word of God talks to me or tells me that, you know, this is me in terms of my relationship with God. And so Paul writes this particular letter and he says, firstly, you know, he says, you are wonderfully made. Right? Sorry, I'm not going to teach you a Greek lesson today. Very interesting word that Paul used by when he uses the word. Interestingly, this word is used only twice by Paul. And this time when Paul uses this word, the first time in Romans chapter 1 verse 20, Paul uses the word by saying that God made. In other words, Paul talks about the physical creation, the creation of the entire universe. And you realize in Genesis when the Lord created, he said it was good. Right? It was good in the sight of God. Everything that God created, God said, you know, it is good. And so Paul uses the word in this moment by saying, not only the creation was good, but Paul says that you are wonderfully made. In other words, he's talking about our spiritual creation. That God not only created us as wonderful, as unique people, as great masterpiece. I don't know how many times you have told yourself that you're a great masterpiece. Right? Have you ever told yourself you're God's great masterpiece? Or do you see yourself, you know, I should be better than so and so, right? I want to be somebody. But Paul says, no. You know, he reminds the church, he reminds the believers that you are God's masterpiece. The way God created the universe, it was unique, it was special, it reveals God's character. Similarly, Paul says, you know, God created you so wonderfully by bringing Christ into your life. And that's why if you read Ephesians chapter 2, he starts talking about, he says that you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world. And so he talks about our worldly life, the life that we were living in this world, right, full of sin. We were living a life without proper purpose for our lives. And so Paul says, you know, that was the kind of life that you were living. But now, church, remember that God had created you. He has called you by name and he has made you wonderful. Not only your physical creation is wonderful, even spiritually, you are wonderful in the sight of God. And that's what Paul is reminding the church. And so I think it's important for us too, as Christians, to always remember that I'm unique, right? In my relationship with God, I'm unique in the way I look. Thank God, I know none of you look like me, right? And so all of us are unique in terms of the way we look, the way we do things and all that. But at the same time, I think Paul also reminds that, you know, not only God had created you physically differently, but spiritually, you know, God has blessed you tremendously. He talks about different gifts, right? Different gifts in the church, unique gifts. All our gifts are unique to us, and God has made us like that. And so, you know, let me challenge you, right? Each and every moment, I think it's important for us how, you know, we see ourselves and, you know, the way we live in this world in relationship to God. So do you see yourself as God's masterpiece? Right? Do you see yourself as God's masterpiece? That I am unique. I'm special. This God has actually called me. Right? I have this Creator living in my life. Not only I look different, because God has given His time and energy, and it is God who has created me. It is God who has done the work in my life. Let me tell you, you know, I know some of you have parents here. Almost all of you have parents. Even your parents are a unique gift from God, my friends. Your spouse, a God's masterpiece given to you. And God says, they are also your masterpiece. And Christ has brought, you know, a unique feature in their life too. And so it's important for us. So how we see ourselves. And so Paul reminds the church, right, that you always to remember that He has called you. He has made you. Right? And Christ lives in you. And you are God's masterpiece. So let me encourage you each and every day. Tell yourself, I'm God's masterpiece. I'm special. I'm unique. Right? And let me tell you that every day will be wonderful, because that's the way God wants us to see ourselves. Secondly, you know, Paul also reminds the church, right? It's important, he says, that you are saved by grace. Paul always talks about grace in his letters. He says, you are saved by grace. And the word here, right, if you look at the first 10 verses, he's actually talking about grace. He's talking about faith. In other words, he says, two things Paul is saying. You know, Paul says, you know, God's grace is very universal. God's redemptive plan is always very universal. God so loved the world. Then he says, you know, and so Paul says, you were living in a very wicked life, a sinful life, but God's grace was shown by Christ's death on the cross for us. And so he says, you are saved for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It was not for yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one or no man can boast. In other words, he says, you know, grace is universal. And then secondly, he talks about another thing, which is he talks about faith. In other words, he says, you're saved through faith. You know, I don't want to touch on this particular doctrine, because some people talk about predestination and all that. So Paul is very careful when he speaks about it here. He says, grace is very universal. In other words, it's God's universal plan. Right? And then he uses another word. The first thing is grace is a very objective means, right? Objective. And then faith is subjective. In other words, that is the way that you experience God's grace in your life. So God's grace is always available. It comes provided. It's a personal choice. It's a free will. You make a choice by saying, yes, I want to take that availability God has given Himself, and so I want to take Him by faith, live by faith, give myself in total obedience and submission to Him. And so Paul says, yes, God's love is so great. And he says, you know, you are saved through faith. And then at the same time, when Paul writes about faith, in this particular context, he says, it's not just, you know, having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but your faith has to grow. Your faith has to grow. That's why when James writes this particular letter, he says, right, if you have faith, show me your deeds, right? And that's the way James is challenging the crowd by saying, if you have faith, show me your deeds, because if you don't have faith, then it's difficult for me to see the good deeds that actually come from you. And so Paul is saying, faith is universal. Faith, grace is universal, but faith is something that is very personal, right? Something which is very personal. Imagine, right, we just came back from Florida. it's a wonderful place, right? And I say, you know, we want to give everyone a free ticket to Florida. Will you be excited? Yes. So it means it's open to all. Free ticket to Florida, right? And that's grace. But then you must be willing to come and take the ticket, go to Pearson Airport, right? Be on time, catch the flight, go through immigration, right? And that is faith, moving from one step to another step. You need to accept. Because you accepted the ticket doesn't mean you're in Florida. I have a ticket to Florida, so I'm in Florida. No. Right? You need to prepare for the journey, right? You need to get someone to drive you to the airport. You need to go through the custom clearance. Let me tell you, it's a headache, right? Particularly, they see people like me look a bit different, right? Sometimes, you know, they check everything. And so you go through, you wait, right? And so that is what Paul is trying to say. Faith moves us. It needs to grow. It needs to grow through difficult times, right? Through challenging moments. And then you experience the salvation of God in your life. In other words, God has saved us to live, to experience the full salvation that is always available to us. And so Paul reminds the church. And so we are saved by his grace. And so continue to live a life of faith. Move with faith, live with faith, right? If not, we will be living according to the fleshly desires. And thirdly, this is what Paul is trying to say. And he says, you are created for good works, right? And I was looking at this particular passage to see what's Paul trying to tell us. In other words, and Paul is reminding the church that not only you're God's masterpiece, you're unique, and you have Christ in you, which is wonderful, right? And you're saved by grace, and you've made an intentional step of coming into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, you are created for good works. Good works. What does it good works mean? It is not just being involved in the church, right? Sometimes many Christians feel, you know, if I do something in the church, that's good works. If I help a bit of people, it good works. When Paul speaks about good works, it's more than that, my friend. It is more than that. He says, you are God's masterpiece, so your entire life should be a life of good works. Not only engaging ourselves with religious activities like worshiping God or reading the Bible, even at home, you should be a God masterpiece, doing good things, wonderful things, because you're God's masterpiece. Even in your workplace, right? Even in your school, wherever God has actually placed you. And that's the way Paul is reminding the church. It's not just because I'm doing something for the church, that's wonderful. Then 80% is my life, whatever I do. No. Paul says, no, that's not the way. If you're God's masterpiece, everything that you do is important. And that's why he always urges the people, right, to give themselves to Christ. Two things we note here. He says his plan for us. In other words, he says that God has actually prepared beforehand. There's another doctrinal issue here. I looked at the word very carefully. It means that when God created me, that God has a plan for my life. And this is Vincent. I've created him. And this is the plan that I've prepared for him. And that's what Paul is trying to say. So God has actually prepared a plan, a path for me, a plan for me. And this is what God has actually done through his gracious love for me. And so Paul says, you know, God has actually prepared everything. Do you know something? You know, sometimes many people come and say, you know, Pastor Vincent, I do not know what is God's purpose in my life. You know, my friend, I think God says, I've already prepared a plan for you. Why are you still trying to find out what is God's plan for my life, God is God's purpose for my life, what is God's will for my life. And that's what Paul is trying to tell the church. He says, you know, God has actually prepared for us. Maybe before we were even in our mother's womb. That's the kind of God that we have. He has actually prepared everything for us. But whether we want to travel by that particular route that God has prepared for us, my friend. Many a times I think we are happy with the way, you know, because as I said, you know, we are happy with the way we live in this world. We are engaging ourselves in some things, you know, good deeds, some deeds in the church. And we say, I'm happy, I'm doing my share, my part. That's not the way. Paul says, you know, God, because you have come in relationship with Him, God has already prepared a plan for us. Today we need to ask whether it's my plan or God's plan. But today we are just happy with, you know, some religious activities that we do and we say, you know, I'm doing God's work. But is it God's plan? Is that what God wants you to be involved? Are you just doing, you know, just making yourself happy? But maybe God has a much more greater plan for your life. Much more bigger, right? Much more wonderful things that God wants to do in your life. And then he also says, he uses the word, he says, and he says that we should walk in them. Not only God has prepared a path for me, plan for me, but he wants me to walk in them. Very interesting word in the Greek. It means you are learning by traveling. In other words, as I go, right, God has prepared this path for me as I walk. It might be a challenging path, but I still walk because I'm learning. There are challenges to my faith. I'm walking. I'm picking up certain things. I become, you know, conscious of the needs of others. And then as I'm walking, you know, what's happening, I see, Lord, I can't complain with the blessings that you've given me because there are many people who are not less fortunate, but you've given me this, so let me be happy. And so that's what Paul is trying to teach. He says, you know, God has actually prepared a path for me because of his love for me. Right? And so when I'm walking, I should say, you know, because Christ is in me, and as I walk, I'm actually learning. I'm picking up things because that's what God wants me. As the potter takes the clay, he works on the clay. Right? Sometimes you might wonder, why is he trying to squeeze the mud? Sometimes he needs to squeeze the mud. Sometimes he breaks the pot a bit here and there because he wants to reshape it again. He takes away a lot of unnecessary things away from the pot because he wants to smoothen it, my friend. And so that's what Paul says. God has prepared the plan for me, and then he says, walk in them, because the challenging part is, you know, as I said, you know, we are very happy with the things that we do. And we say, you know, I'm doing for God, you know, I've done my share. I've given my tithes to God. I'm involved in some church ministry. I do my devotions well and wonderful. But that's wonderful, right? I greet my friends, you know. Sometimes I give them the tracts. But is that what God wants you to do? Right? Is that what God wants you to do? Because according to Paul's writing, Paul says God has prepared, but whether we are walking, traveling on that particular path, or we are just walking on a different path and saying, I'm happy with that path, and that's the path, you know, I think God has planned for me. But God says, no, no, maybe that's not the path. It's a different path altogether. And that's why Paul, when he writes in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he says, right, give yourself, your entire self, not just a bit of me, but your entire self. I appeal to you, brothers, he says, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship, he says. And then in Colossians 3:17, Paul says, right, whatever you do, right, whatever in everything that you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? And that's what Paul is trying to teach us. Dear friends, are you happy with the good works that you're doing, or is that what God wants you to do? We're just happy with some good deeds that we do. Is that what God wants you to do? Or you are just doing it because you wanted to do it? Are you traveling on a path that you think that's the path to go? Or is that the path that God has prepared for you to travel? Are you just creating your own path and saying, you know, this is the path that's wonderful to me, it works well for me, I'm happy. But God has a different path for each and every one of us, because we are wonderfully made, we are saved, right, by His grace, and He wants us to grow by faith, step at a time, and then He wants us to go in His path, not on our own path, my friend. And so let me challenge you as you start this year. I believe that we have already projected, you know, there are certain things I want to do. That's wonderful. I'm not saying no. Right? I want to do this. You know, I want to achieve my 10 resolutions, my 5 resolutions. And these are the things that I want to achieve in this entire year. Great, wonderful. I'm not denying all these things. But I think in everything that we plan, right, we need to ask ourselves, is this the path, plan that God has prepared for me? And am I traveling on my path? Or His path, my friend. Paul reminds the church, because they can go back, right, and say, you know, this is, just be satisfied with your life. Let's pray. This is Paul's love letter to the church in Ephesus. Paul could have easily said, you know, you're wonderful people, just continue. But he wanted them to know and to be aware that each and every person was or is God's wonderful masterpiece. If you ever realize there are times that you tell yourself, I want to be like that someone, even in your physical appearance, you want to be like that someone, even in the way that you do things, you want to be like that someone. But God says, you know, you're unique in my sight. The psalmist writes that God has fearfully and wonderfully made me in my mother's womb. Have you ever said, Lord, I'm happy that you have created me like this? I'm happy, Lord, because you are in my life. And that's what I need. And that's what I want. Do you see yourself as unique in the sight of God, my friend? And I believe God wants us to live by faith each and every day. It's a faith journey. Sometimes in our faith journey, God wants us to go in a path that might be very challenging this year. It might be wonderful. It might be filled with a lot of blessings. But as God has prepared, if He takes you in His road, you are learning. He's shaping you. He's working in your life. Today, I think we need to ask ourselves, have I prepared my path for this year? Or have I said, Lord, just make me, Lord, walk in your path? Paul was very conscious because they were giving themselves to their fleshly desires. He says, no, no, that's not the way. Let us not be happy with this, the things that we just do for God and say, you know, I'm engaged in some religious activities and all that, and that's what I need, and I'm happy with that. God says, I want to do much more greater and wonderful and good things through you. Through you in your church, through you in your family, in your workplace. I don't think God has sent you in your workplace just to work there. But more than that, my friend, God has given you a family. Not that you'll just have a sense of security, but more than that, good deeds. He has given you friends in your life, not to just hang around with them, which is good, but more than that, maybe challenging them in the faith, discipling them, to be a great model in front of your friends. Father, we help us, Lord, to remember as we start this year, God, that you love us so much, that you have made us, God, special. Help us, Lord, to know that we are special in your sight, Father, and we have Jesus living in our lives. Help us to know, Lord, that our faith is important. As we are traveling, O God, we are learning. We are learning about life. We are appreciating. We are looking at things differently from God's lenses. Help us, O, to walk in your path, not in our path. We thank you once again for your word. In Jesus' name we pray.